We're looking at one of the most important topics that could possibly be discussed regarding religion, and that is the subject of the Bible. We spent several lessons looking at the inspiration of the Bible, and in those lessons we talked about the proof or the evidences that the Bible is God's Word. We also talked about the transmission of the Bible and how that the Bible has been faithfully preserved down through the centuries, that it has been copied and recopied, but it has been preserved for us so that we know that we have the Word of God. And we looked at evidence from Scripture and also from history to that end. Then we talked about what is called the canon of the Scripture, and that simply means which books belong in the Bible. Since the Bible is a book of 66 different books, how do we know which books belong in it and which ones do not? And we looked also at evidence inside the Bible and outside the Bible on that very point. And so we have more than abundant proof that the Bible we have is God's Word. And since the Bible is God's Word, and since the Bible is how God speaks to us today, it is the final word on whatever it says. And man should never tamper with the Bible. And I want to look at some warnings today about tampering with the Bible, which show that we ought to have the utmost respect for the Bible. We ought to have the greatest reverence toward the Scriptures. And we're going to look at these passages that warn about that. And then we're going to look at a few examples of how mankind has ignored those warnings. Let's begin back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4. Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 2. In Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 2, the Bible says, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." God here, through Moses, is issuing this warning early in the Bible. This is book number 5 in the Bible, and this is a principle. This is a teaching that you find throughout the Word of God, that when God speaks, man is not to change what God has said. Now that stands to reason, doesn't it? Since God is the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, the Creator, the Judge, then it only stands to reason, and it only naturally follows, that man has no business trying to change anything that God has said. Man has no business trying to improve upon what God has said. It's the height of arrogance for feeble and mortal and sinful men to think that they can teach men how to live better than God can, to think that they can come up with a better religious message than what God has given in the Bible. And yet, we find that throughout history, men have tried this. And early in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, God warned the Israelite people never to do this. Now let's turn next to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look at chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30, and we find a similar warning here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verse 6. "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Now, from that passage in Proverbs chapter 30, let's turn all the way over to the end of the Bible, to some of the last verses that we find in the Scriptures, in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. We live in a generation that is not any different from any other generation of mankind. And that is that man needs to hear these warnings that we're about to read. Man is not to tamper with the Word of God. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, the Bible says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Now, obviously here, he's writing this book of Revelation, And specifically here, he's talking about the book of Revelation. But the reason that I started in the book of Deuteronomy and then went to Proverbs and then to Revelation 22, 18 and 19 is to show that this is God's warning to every age. This is God's warning about any part of the Bible. God has always taught this, and again, as mere human beings, we ought to see that without God having to warn us. We ought to be able to see that if God has spoken, we have no right to change that, to alter it, to tamper with it in any way. And here in the closing words of the Bible, we find the most severe warning about changing the Bible, about altering the Word of God. If any man adds to these things, the Bible says God will add to him the plagues that are written or described in this book. And if any man dares to take away from these words, then God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. In other words, any man that dares to tamper with the Bible will suffer eternal damnation in hell. Now, though these warnings are strong and clear, it is amazing how many people have tried to change the Bible. Some people have tried to do it literally and physically. For instance, Thomas Jefferson, one of our early presidents, was what is called a deist. A deist is somebody that believes in God, but he doesn't believe that God has ever worked any miracles, and he doesn't believe that God has ever really communicated directly, especially through the Scriptures. In other words, a deist is somebody that says, well, I believe that God exists, but I don't believe that God worked all the miracles of the Bible, and I don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. So deists reject the inspiration of the Bible. Now, Thomas Jefferson did believe that the teachings of Jesus Christ, especially in sections like the Sermon on the Mount, were good for people in general. He believed that Jesus gave some great teaching for society that it would make any nation better. So he believed in things like the Golden Rule and the Second Great Commandment to love your neighbor as yourself and so forth. And here's what Thomas Jefferson did. He took the New Testament as we have it, and he edited out the parts that he did not believe in. In other words, he literally cut out all the miracles of the New Testament so that what was left is the teaching of Jesus Christ in these sections that he believed had some benefit and value, but he cut out and he left out the parts that he rejected and did not believe in. So there is one example from our recent past of a man who thought that he had the right to take the Bible and to cut out parts that he did not believe in. Before him, Martin Luther, one of the strongest voices in the Reformation period in the 1500s, did exactly the same thing with some verses of Scripture and even a book of the Bible. For instance, when he translated the book of Romans, he got down to Romans 3, verse 28, where the Bible says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. He had fought so hard against the Catholic view of works that he went to an extreme. And he added the word only or alone here in Romans 3, verse 28. He added the word alone to the word faith. So his translation of the Bible read, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith alone without the deeds of the law. So he added to the Bible. The word alone is not in there. You can just open up your Bible today, and men have been able to do this ever since Martin Luther tried this. And we've been able to look at Romans 3:28 for ourselves. And it does not have the word alone in there. Martin Luther had no right to do that. He had no justification to add anything to the Bible, and yet that is what he tried. And because he was so extreme about works and faith in his own thinking, he ended up actually saying that the book of James in your Bible should not be in the Bible. Did you know that Martin Luther did not believe that the book of James is an inspired book. He didn't believe that it was actually in the canon of Scripture. He said that the book of James is a good book, it's beneficial for reading, but it's not written by an inspired man. Now, why would he do that? Well, it's because he had already made up his mind before he really went to the book of James and did the serious study that he should have, that a man is justified by faith alone. And you see, the book of James denies that. In James chapter 2, verse 24, James said, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." So there's an example of a man's preconceived idea. There is an example of a man going to an extreme and refusing to let even the Bible qualify his belief and correct and shed light on what he's trying to figure out. So Luther, sadly, ended up adding to and taking away from the Bible. But we move closer to our time. And what we find in our age is that there are different people that add to and take from the Bible. For instance, how many times have you seen a movie or a television show that is supposedly based on and is about the Bible? But then you watch that show or you watch that movie and you see things that are not in the Bible. You see that they have changed the storyline completely. They add to, they take from, they alter. They imagine and invent things that are not in the Word of God. Now, what is that? That is either adding to or taking from the Word of God or both. But I suppose that the most common way in which people tamper with the Bible, that is, the most common way that people add to or take from the Bible is not by physically taking the Bible and cutting out verses. It's not even so much by what they say, it is by what they do. And this is where even people who teach the right thing and say the right thing end up tampering with the Bible and end up adding to and taking from it. There are people that tamper with the Bible with their lives. They may say that they revere the Bible, and they would never dare to tamper with its pages, and yet they trample on the Word of God with their lives. They say that they believe in God, but they don't act like it. They say that they believe the Bible, but they don't follow its teaching. They say that they believe in life after death, heaven and hell, and the great judgment, but their lives don't show it at all. And so with their lives, they're actually adding to and taking from the Word of God. And if we're going to be right with God, we have to revere the Bible and respect the Bible as the ultimate authority from God. And we have to do that with our words and also with our lives.